Okay. Very good. Wow. Okay, so, you know, so if you take a look at the Rambam in Hilchos Avodos Kochavim, okay, the Rambam starts off interesting because normally, you know, the Rambam starts off with halacha, right? He tells you what is Avodah Zarah. Over here, the Rambam starts off with like a brief history of Avodah Zarah. Okay? So it's an interesting thing. But if you look in the Rambam, he gives the history of Avodah Zarah. And what he says is that basically, just to paraphrase, what the Rambam says is that the original Ovdei Avodah Zarah did not, when they worshipped the stars or different celestial objects, they did not maintain that those things are God. They didn't worship the stars because they said the star is God. But what they said was that since God created the stars, and these are, it's a great creation, so they said that what they maintained was that God wants you to show kavod and to give worship the star as a kavod to him. In other words, God, just like a king wants when he has his officers, so he wants the people to treat the officers with kavod. And when I treat an officer with kavod, it's showing kavod to the king. Okay, so too, God is very far removed. God is, we can't approach God directly. He's too great. So what God wants is that we should express our worship of God through these beings or these entities that he created. And this is really a way of worshiping God. Okay, that's what the original of the Avodah Zarah thought.
So, I've heard this a few times. I just wonder if we could just like expand on the kind of like the Havmin a little bit. So they thought that by giving, so let's say in a king's case, right?
Yes.
So he like, so he's happy when people just bow to his like servant, to his like second in command.
Yes. In other words, if you will go and disgrace the vice president.
Right.
That's a disgrace to the president. That's not only a disgrace to the vice president, it's a disgrace to the president. Because he's the officer of the president. Okay? Or a king, if you disgrace his whatever, is the general of his army. That shows you don't have respect for the king. So by respecting that person, that stems from the respect for the king.
Is it a disregard of like a system or a disregard of just the king's power specifically? Because is it like everyone's power derived from the king's
derives
power?
From the king. That's right. This person is, so to speak, an arm of the king. So the king wants you to show kavod to his arm, to his extensions. Okay, that's a kavod to the king.
Okay, it's like a testament to his choices or something like that.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, so the same thing. So what they maintained was that God is so great and so removed from us. Who are we to directly go to God and worship God? We're nothing, and God is the greatest being in the universe. He's the source of the universe. So how can we have any kind of direct connection with God? So therefore, they said the proper way is that because of our low stature, we don't directly worship God, but God wants us to show kavod to the universe, to the things that he created, and that is a way of relating to God. That's a way of relating to God, and that's kavod for Hashem. Okay,
so that's because they couldn't feel like they could do that directly to Hashem, or they felt like it would be more of an honor to Hashem to do it that way instead of directly to Hashem.
I mean, the Rambam doesn't say, but it would seem that. I mean, you could say both. In other words, well, let's put it this way: if you could, you know, it would seem that their motive was that they felt this is something we can relate to, okay, and God is so far removed, okay. But this is a being, the stars, or God gave us these things in our vicinity, and we should worship those things. Okay, why they didn't directly worship God, I don't know. You could supply reasons. You know, maybe it was they felt God was too far away. But whatever the reason was, but they felt that this is a form of worship. Okay, this is a form of worshiping God, because we're only showing kavod and worshiping the star because God created it, and it's an expression of God's greatness. That's why we're worshiping the star. Okay, so therefore the Rambam said that not that they said there's no God, they know there's a God. Okay, then later, the later of the Avodah Zarah dispensed with God. They related to the stars as God. Okay, so it deteriorated. But the original, and the Rambam says that's Ikar Avodah Zarah. If you do that, the Rambam says, Zuhi Ikar Avodas Kochavim. This is the Ikar Avodas Kochavim. When a person says that, not when he necessarily denies God, does not Ikar Avodah Zarah does not involve necessarily a denial of God. Even if a person maintains there is a God, but he maintains that showing kavod to God's creations is showing kavod to God, that is Avodah Zarah. And the question is, I mean, when you put it that way, it doesn't sound like it should be the worst thing in the world. Because I could ask you a question. What is the difference between that and what we do? I mean, what do? We have a Sefer Torah, and we say we have to show kavod to the Sefer Torah. You can't just treat a Sefer Torah in a degrading way. When the Sefer Torah is out of the iron, you have to stand. Okay, you have to treat it with certain kavod. Tefillin, you have to treat with kavod. Why are we treating these things with kavod? Because these objects are these objects reflect the idea of God. Okay, so what is the difference really between that and what they do? We're showing kavod to these objects also, just like they do. Yeah.
When they did it, it was specifically as a form of worship, though, right?
Yes.
So we don't really give kavod to the Torah as a form of worship.
That's correct. We don't worship it, but still in all, there is a similarity, because we show kavod to that thing, to that physical object. And that kavod is because of our kavod Hashem. Yeah.
What's the point of worshiping? Why do we do this?
What's the point of worshiping?
Like, is it to give thanks? Is it like a whole duh thing, or?
I mean, in general, what's the idea of worshiping? Okay. That's a good question. What's the general idea of worshiping?
It's a recognition.
You're not. You worshiping is not. Giving anything to God, right? But it's for us. It's a recognition of God. That's why
it's beneficial for us to recognize.
It's beneficial for us directly. That's right.
So you just make an activity. We set an activity in which we'll do this in order to ensure that we recognize God.
That's right. I mean, worship involves, I believe it involves two categories. It involves learning, this is a Avodas Hashem, and also tefillah. So both those activities involve a recognition of God, bringing to mind the true idea of God. That's worship, but it's for us. It's not, worship is not supplying God with something that he needs. Okay. Right? Okay, so the question is, if you say that Avodah Zarah means where I relate to God through a physical thing, I show a physical thing a certain type of kavod, or I worship that thing as a means to my recognition of God, to my kavod for Hashem, that's Avodah Zarah. So then, I mean, how different is it what we do? Yeah.
And I think that was the idea of like a bracha, the bracha though, right? To connect all these physical things to Hashem, to like acknowledge it, but through Hashem, like these things are.
Okay, but that's what the Rambam says that they did. The Rambam says,
but they obviously lost that focus.
Ah, but the Rambam says that Iker Avodah Zara is not when they lost it. Then the Rambam, that's later on. The Rambam says, and then as things deteriorated, they forgot about God. But even before they forgot about God, when the Rambam says that Tal Bnei Adam, Tal's Gadol, they made a great mistake. Okay, and what was their mistake? They said, since God created the stars and the heavens and the planets, okay, and He placed them in a exalted position, He placed them in a certain prominent position, okay, He said, therefore, they said that we should show kavod to these bodies, okay, just like a king wants kavod for his ministers. We have to show kavod to these bodies. And the Rambam said, therefore they built temples and they worshipped and they bowed down to these celestial bodies. Okay? The Rambam says, Zuhi Ikar Avodas Kochavim. This is the essence of Avodah Zarah. And then he says like this, he says, Lo Shehein Omer and Shehein Sham Eloka. Not that they said that there's no God. Ela Kochav Zeh, that this God, that this star is God. They didn't say that. Okay? He says, Hushi Yirmiyahu Omer, Milo Yiracham Melech HaGoyim, Ki Lecha Yasa B'chol Chachmei HaGoyim V'chol Malchusam. He says, in the nations, they all know God, and they all fear God. Okay? But they don't worship God. They worship God's ministers. They worship the stars. But they all know there's a God. They don't deny God. They just have nothing, no direct worship of Him. Okay? So that's what Ram says. Kolom hakol yodim she'ata hu levadecha. They all know that there is only one God. Okay? He's talking about the original of the Avodah Zarah. They all know there is one God. The only thing is they maintain we can't direct. We have nothing direct, no direct relation with Him. How do we serve God? He's too far removed. We have to serve a being that God put here. And this is the service of God. This is showing kavod to God. Okay? So I mean, it doesn't sound, it doesn't sound like real Avodah Zarah. Because he could say, look, that's a cheshbon. God's so far removed. How do we directly approach Him? Okay? So let's show our recognition of God through things God created. Right? And we have, and that's why I'm asking. I mean, because we have also covered for Kitzvei Kodesh. Okay, what is that? I mean, what's covered for Kitzvei Kodesh? I mean, it's true, you're not worshiping the Kitzvei Kodesh, but you're saying through these objects, through doing mitzvahs with these objects, that brings us closer to God. And you're saying we have to treat these objects with a certain deference. Yeah.
So then we could say that, I guess on some level they had a recognition of God, right? And they wanted to recognize Him.
Yeah.
And worship Him. But it seems, that that really, since they thought they couldn't, worship Him, whatever exactly that means, directly, that, that would either stem from some kind of misunderstanding of, of God or themselves, because they really misunderstood the relationship.
Okay.
Because that's a misunderstanding of the relationship, saying that we can't, approach God directly.
Right. Okay. And us?
And us? Sorry?
In other words, but what about, aren't we doing that? In other words, when we say Sefer Torah, you have to stand for Sefer Torah, you have to show it kavod, show kavod to Sefer Torah.
Oh, so that doesn't negate being able to recognize God directly, but that just, but giving kavod to the, something that's part of the system is a recognition of the system. But that doesn't necessarily, preclude or exclude, but one was the right word.
Right.
like you can approach king directly, but as you're leaving the palace, you know, you say to the ministers, you know, you could recognize them also. But they thought that was the method of only method to recognize.
The only method, yeah. But then you're saying that it's because they said it was the only method, right? In other words, you're saying that method is correct. It just shouldn't negate the other method. In other words, you should serve God directly and indirectly.
But we don't really use it as a method of worship. Let's say giving kavod to a sefer Torah is not a method of worship for us.
Right, okay, but what is that? I mean...
Well, did I answer the first question at least?
What was the
second? I'm thinking that... So what's wrong with their form of worship? Is because really that's not a proper recognition of God till we say the degree you should have it.
Okay. You know? Right, but then the only thing is then you're saying that what their idea is... They have something. They have an idea. The only thing is, they shouldn't just stick to that. They should have both. You know what I mean?
Well, no, because when we relate to Sefer Torah, it's not as a form of worship.
Okay, so that's what I'd like to know. What is the difference? In other words, you could use the term worship, right? But what is the difference? Because when we show a Sefer Torah kavod, we're showing this object kavod because it has a certain kind of kedusha. So now you're relating to an object as a form of kedusha. Now they also, it's true, they may have taken it to a greater extreme. Fine, they worship this star, but the basic idea was that showing kavod to the star is showing kavod to God. And I'd like to know, what is the difference between that and our idea of, let's say, kavod mitzvah or kavod Torah? I mean, there should be one kavod, kavod Hashem. So now you're telling me, yeah, but Kavod Hashem results when I'm Mechabed the Torah, that's Mechabed Hashem. Okay, it sounds pretty close to what they were saying. It sounds like the germ of the idea that they developed. When I show Kavod, Kavod Torah is Kavod Shemaim. Okay, so Kavod Kachavim is Kavod Shemaim. I mean... Yeah.
Maybe just a little bit of a thought. I don't have this clear, but I mean, it seems like it's different. Certainly, the way the Rambam says it is, he says, "L'akriv lahen karbonos l'shabcham l'faram." You know, it certainly sounds like they're doing it to them. Like that is the sort of like you have like the ends or the means, sort of. You know.
Right.
So like, it sounds like they ended up, you know, worshiping them as the ends. Like maybe there's God, and then there's also these things, and you almost end up.
Right.
When you go down that road, you end up with like two different kinds of like deities. So maybe there's a big deity, right?
Yeah, that's how you end up.
Right, but they think that's as opposed to, let's say, like Kavod HaTorah, which is. I mean, look, I think a person could, you know. A person could fall into this too with the Torah. I think it is possible that a person might end up doing the same kind of thing with the Torah. It's not like it's inherently impossible.
Okay.
But
so it's pretty close.
What?
So it's pretty close. It could lead you to the same destination.
Well, yeah. The only thing is that one is like a thing. I don't know if this will fit all the examples, but let's say Torah. I mean, like the Sefer Torah. I mean, right. it's a like it's an object of, not an object, but an item of ideas. Like
okay.
It's, I don't know that your emotions are going to grab onto this thing. You know, it's not like a star or something like that. It's an object of.
It's an object of knowledge, but you could say a star also. I mean, we study the stars.
It happens with rabbis a lot also. You can see.
What's that?
With rabbis,
it happens like a lot. You can see that's.
Rebbe's, that's right. That's right. You pick this person, and you deify him.
Right.
Right? Now you could deify a star, true, but you could treat a star also as an object of Chachma. You could study the star, then it wouldn't be a Avodah Zarah. But you could deify a star. So, I mean, Torah also, if you're going to say this object has some kind of Kedusha, it has a Kedusha. We have to stand up when the object goes by. So, okay, it's true, you could study it, but does that exclude? But now if you're treating it in a special way, what isn't that deifying the thing?
I mean, echanami, but like you said about anything. I mean, like if you don't understand what you're doing, why you're doing it, then sure, you can make a mistake about what's going on.
Right.
I mean, unless you're asking a different kind of question, like why the Torah create such an institution of kavod, sefer Torah. Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, you're showing kavod to this now.
Yeah, but the idea makes sense inherently to give kavod to something that's a reflection of God's chachma.
So then that's what they do. They say we want to give kavod to something that's a tremendous reflection of God's chachma. Look at the stars. I mean, this is an unbelievable thing. So we want to show kavod to that.
I mean, I fell into that.
they wanted to show kavod to it. I mean, they weren't necessarily fools. They could have been, you know, they were great chachamim, and they saw that this, the way what God created is an unbelievable system here, and it deserves kavod.
Just don't think emotionally it's going to have the same attraction.
Okay, I mean, that might be, but where is the difference? It sounds pretty close to, you know, what people say. Well, you have your religion, you know, Judaism is religion, these are other religions, everybody worships in their own way. Right? I mean, that's what people say.
Yeah. Somebody said it to me yesterday in school.
Yeah.
Somebody said it to me, I was like, really, all religions are the same. It's
We all believe the same thing.
You all believe the same thing.
That's
there's
right.
Not that much difference between them.
Right, they all like to say it. They love to say that. Yes, they love it. It's as if they all went to the same school where they taught them. Here's what you say. Right? I mean, they love it.
Just some end up with suicide bombers.
But the thing is, I mean, if a person reads this, they would... You know, they would walk away with confirmation for that idea. I mean, if you're honest, you're going to say, well, I mean, okay, it doesn't sound that bad. They're saying they saw the universe. They said this is an amazing creation. We should show kavod to this. Yeah.
Okay, we never worship these items. We don't even do the same action.
That's true. We don't worship them. That would be taking it even further. But all I'm asking is... Isn't the concept there? In other words, the thought pattern that they had, fine, they took it to a further extreme. I agree. But the thought pattern that they had was based on a certain idea. And the idea was that if you see something that God created, which is unbelievable, it's kavod to God to give kavod to that thing. Now, what is the difference here? When you're saying the Sefer Torah has Kedusha, you can't degrade it. You have to stand up when it's out of the iron. You have to show there's such a thing as a covered Sefer Torah. Now, I just want to know, what is the difference? The Sefer Torah is an object that's a representation of God's Chachma, and we're saying when this object is before us, we must treat it a certain way. So I just would like to understand what's the difference between that thought pattern and the thought pattern of giving deference to a star. I mean, we don't think of a star as a religious item because we're not brought up that way. So we're brought up that a Sefer Torah is a religious item. Okay, but basically it's just, you know, we're brought up this way, so this is right, and they were brought up that way. I mean, what's the difference? He's saying this is a Sefer Torah which is written by a man, and we're going to show it kavod, and that's how we respect God. Okay. Sounds pretty close to what they're saying. Mm-hmm. We're not bound down to it, fine. So we're not as, we don't take it the full expression, fine. But the reasoning sounds pretty close. Doesn't sound totally different. I wouldn't say, well, no, these are two totally different things that have nothing to do with each other. I mean, the way the Rambam describes it, sounds pretty close. Yeah.
Well, the Rambam says this. What exactly is the... Like, he says, like, they made the taos, right?
Yeah.
I just want to show... Because the way it's, like, broken up here is I'm not clear. What exactly was the taos? Was there a taos to give kavod? Or is that okay, but then the taos was then taking another step of then, you know, building hekalos for it and being makrif to it and stuff? So is there a problem with the kavod itself?
Well, that's the question. I mean, the Rambam seems to be saying the taos is that they showed that thought pattern. That they said that just like a human king, it's covered for a human king to serve his ministers and to show covet to his ministers. So they thought to themselves, hey, this is the king of the universe, and showing covet to the universe is a covet to him.
Yeah, but is there anything wrong with that? Just stop there.
When you think about it, you'd say, hey, doesn't sound crazy. Right? But that's the source of their taos. That clearly is the source of their taos.
Right, but that, just because that leads to a problem later doesn't mean that that's a taos itself.
That's right.
But so I'm asking, is that the...
That's what he's saying. He's saying that itself is a taos. That idea is false.
The kavod.
Yes. That idea. Because if that idea is true, you can't say, well, that's no good because it leads to avodah zarah. I mean, anything can lead to avodah zarah.
So is it any different than saying, wow, like the workings of the celestial bodies and astronomy is incredible, an incredible chachma there.
Right. Is there a difference? Right. That's what I want to know. What's the difference?
Is that something different than what they did?
Well, I mean, apparently, but we don't understand.
Eventually, of course, they're... Right. Being mocked if I'm not talking about.
No, that first step.
It's that first step.
He's saying that is wrong. That's a mistake.
Saying, wow, there's tremendous chachma in astronomy. Let's say.
Well, he doesn't say, you know, that example. Well, that's what we want to understand. In other words, he's giving an example of... we want to understand what in the example, what in their thought pattern, difference from a person. Obviously, a person studies the universe and says, wow, this unbelievable chachma. That obviously is not the Vozar, that's chachma. So that's what we want to understand. What's the difference between what they did? Sounds close to that. What's the difference between what they did in doing that and studying the universe? Okay. Okay. So the thing is like this. The thing is that, you see, the difference is what they did was they showed kavod and appreciation for objects. For particular objects. We don't show kavod for objects. You see, we show our appreciation is directed at ideas. Okay? The Sefer Torah, any object that you have in Torah, it is not the object. Because the Sefer Torah is not a physical object. It is really the only kedusha in the Sefer Torah is the halachic entity of Sefer Torah. Okay, Vaharaya. Let's say a person writes a Sefer Torah and he doesn't believe in God. There's no Kedusha. He can write the exact same words that are in the Sefer Torah. Do everything Kilchasa. The person doesn't believe in God, there's no Kedusha. So the Sefer Torah is not the physical object. The Sefer Torah is the halachic Sefer Torah. It means it is a certain, it's the concept. The Sefer Torah does not exist as a physical object. If it's not made according to the halachic system, that's not a Sefer Torah. Okay? So the Sefer Torah is a halachic object. It's really an abstract object. Okay? That's why you could show it's covered to the Sefer Torah. Okay? Because the only thing we appreciate is ideas. That we have covered for. But not physical objects. Okay? So you'll ask me, what's the difference? You'll say, okay, but how can you appreciate an idea? Your appreciation should be just directed to God. Okay? The difference is that if you show appreciation for an object, that's a dead end. That does not lead to God. You see? Because if I show appreciation, if my appreciation and my interest lies in the area of ideas, that leads to God. You see, because the idea, when I look at an object and I think of the idea and I go, whoa, that's an amazing thing, and I'm drawn to that, you see, that leads you to God, because you go further and further till you reach a source to the idea, you see. But an appreciation and a fixation with objects leads nowhere. It leads to the object. That's not a root. You're only involved in searching for God when you're going, what's behind that object? That's the search for God. What's the idea behind that object? Now you're looking, what's the source of this thing? Now you're searching for the source. That search is Avodas Hashem. That is Avodas Hashem. Because I'm searching for what's behind what I see. You see? But if my search is rooted in what I see, then on the contrary, you're going away from God. You're directly going away from God. Because he's saying, that's where I have to be, in that physical object. That's the end of the line. You're going away from God. The only time a person goes towards God is where he goes, hey, one second, where does this emanate from? What makes this work? Now he's going behind the object to the source. That's Avodas Hashem, looking for God. See, that's searching for the source of what we see. That is searching for the source of reality. You see? But if I just am fixated on the object, that's not the real source. That's the result. So that's why the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, their idea was, what was wrong with their idea was that they were expressing their appreciation and their relationship to God through the object. That doesn't lead to God. You know what I mean? That's a dead end. That doesn't go anywhere. Because if I have to stick with the object, I can't move anywhere. Oh, you're going to go into the ideas, what makes this work? Now you're not in the object anymore. You see, if your attention is directed at the object, that's away from God. That's why it's Avodah Zarah. See, that's why it's Avodah Zarah. So that was their mistake. Their mistake was that to get to God, they thought, I'll just be fixated on the object. That doesn't relate you to God at all. That's why in Torah, you have nothing that's an object. Tefillin. Any mitzvah you take, there is no object. What makes it tefillin is the ideas that govern what determines this, what makes this tefillin or not tefillin. That's the only thing that creates the tefillin. It's not the physical box. You see, that's why we could have kavod for tefillin. Because that type of kavod is an appreciation of ideas. That appreciation is you are relating to God. Because he's the source of the ideas. You see, but if the tefillin would just be a physical box, then if I would show appreciation for that thing, if I have to relate to that thing in a certain kind of way, that would be Vozar. That would be Vozar. Yeah, that's the difference. And that's why if a person treat
their thought process was, because that seems like a pretty low, pretty like basic of Azar. I'm not sure that's the right term, but like, it sounded like these people were on a higher level of Chachma. That's what I thought. It was like, they had appreciation of the Chachma of the, let's say, astronomy.
Right.
And then that led them to some other mistake. But why would they ever say, let's get fixated on the object? And I don't, I'm missing that, like, psychological, intellectual, emotional jump. Like, you know what I mean? Like, why would they go there? I don't understand, like, what that's...
I don't know.
Well, like, just to play it out, they would say, like, they're seeing the Chachma of astronomy, and then they say, okay, let's worship the moon. Like, and I'm missing the, like, the thought.
I guess to them, I don't know if they had the Chachma, but if they had Chachma, I guess it was not real to them. They didn't sense the reality of the Chachma. They thought what was real is the physical thing. You know what I mean? If a person operates that way, that what's real is the physical, there's no connection to God, because simply there's no way, that does not lead you to God. That leads you away from God. Because really what's real is what's behind that physical. The physical is there because of what's behind the physical, because of the chachma and the system that God created. See, that's why the physical is the way it is. But if a person, the emphasis is on the physical, that that's what's real, and the other things, you're getting into something not so real, then you're moving away from God. That's what their thing was. But what's real is, we could relate to these things. These are the things where we feel comfortable. You see, so let's show our relationship to God through these things. You see, then your idea of God is totally off. You know what I mean? Because you're saying these are the real things. Then what's God? I mean, then God has to partake of this, these physical things in some ways. If the ideas are not real, you and this is the real, you're away from God.
It's so how does it trace How does that trace back to the way they were thinking before, that they still recognize that God is the only God, and the chalak lahem kavod and all that? Like, how does that?
I mean, why'd they have the idea of God if this was real?
Yeah, I guess I'm not saying the...
He's just saying that they had that idea, but the way they related to that idea was not the correct way. And as they had an idea that there must be a being that created these things, you see, but to them, that being didn't partake of real existence. As to them, what was real was the physical things. Yeah, there's a being that created them. Okay, fine. But they didn't really, they couldn't relate to that being. That's Avodah Zarah. They knew that there was a God, but they had no way of relating to that thing. To them, the only thing that they can relate to is a physical being. You see, that's Avodah Zarah. That takes you away from God. So that's the difference, really. If the person is relating, that's how you could tell if it's a Avodah Zarah. If it's a Avodah Zarah, it means the person relates to the physical object. You see? And in Torah, really, they're not physical. It's not the physical Torah. The Sefer Torah is an abstract halachic entity. If you take away the concept of God, that Sefer Torah is not a Sefer Torah. Nothing. You can throw it on the street. No Kedusha. So the Kedusha stems from the idea of the Sefer, not the Sefer itself, not the physical parchment. It's nothing. The physical parchment is nothing. But if it was a Avodah Zarah, then you'd say, oh, we don't care who wrote it. Okay, but look, yeah, you have this physical, this Sefer is very holy. Okay, maybe the guy that wrote it is not so holy, but it's a holy book. You see, that would be Avodah Zarah. If you take away the abstract halachic formulation and just be rooted in the tefillin, these physical things. You say, we don't care who wrote them, we don't care, okay, it's a little thing off, one little thing, okay, but it's holy. See, that would be Avodah Zarah. But if you say, no, it's the thing complies with a system of halacha, that's what makes it tefillin, then already, now your attention is directed to the ideas, not to the physical object.
So really, it was like their mistake was that it's really not analogous to the mashal we did before. Gave before to the king's servant.
Yeah.
Really the proper method of giving praise to the king would not be through his servant. That's wrong, right?
Well, it would work with the king. You see, the reason why it would work with the king is because by the king, the servants do lead to the king, because the king is physical and the servants are physical. So therefore, if I'm mechabe the servants really partake of the same nature as the king. They're akin to the king, close to the king. You see, so they're an extension of the king. So that's why if I'm mechabe the servant, I am mechabe the king. But that's because they both share the same essence.
Right, but I'm saying it's not like analogous.
It wouldn't work.
Right.
Over here, it wouldn't work.
Yeah.
Because the physical has nothing to do with God.
Oh, sure.
You see, so therefore you're being mechabit something that doesn't partake in any way of the source. You see, so it's not covered.
So the ideas can, because there's nothing...
The ideas lead
you. They're not,
yes,
like limited or constricted.
That's right, exactly. Because the ideas lead you to God. You're saying, well, where did this thing come from? The idea is a source. It's right, but God's the ultimate source. But the ideas, when a person starts thinking about the ideas, that leads him to, well, where did these ideas come from? Where's the source of this? You see, that the only way, that's what I'm saying, the only way that a person can relate to God is through his intellect. Because his intellect gives him a way of getting, of approaching the ideas.
So how do you balance that, though, when you, like, with the kavod of the Torah? I think it's more put into, like, a Rebbe, like, somebody that, like, you respect, and you see him on a high level, you see him as somebody that is, I guess, closer to Hashem, so to speak, than you are. And so how are you supposed to relate to him, like giving him kavod at the same time, like trying to distance yourself from this?
Well, it'll be the same thing. In other words, the Rebbe is only a Rebbe because of his ideas. He's only a Rebbe not because of his personality, not because of his appearance or his behavior. He's only a Rebbe because of one thing, because of the ideas. That's what gives him the Chal Shem of a Talmud Chacham, is the ideas that he portrays. Take away those ideas and you don't have a Talmud Chacham. Not a Rebbe. You know what I mean? So therefore the respect for the Rebbe is not the physical man anymore. You see, the respect for the Rebbe is his Chal Shem, his definition as a Talmud Chacham. You see, that already is not a, you're not directed to the physical object. You're directed to he has a certain definition. You see? That, you could say, is an attitude that leads you towards God.
But even the fact that we have to preserve like the parchment that, you know, is no longer like a Sefer Torah that is no longer considered really or something happened, I forgot what the exact
that's right
halachi, yeah
right.
Or a Rebbe even after he loses those ideas and
see, it's not true. In other words, if the Rebbe would become an apikaros, so what's the halacha? I mean, I don't know.
Felicia Ben Rebbe, yeah.
What's the halacha? Yeah, what's the halacha? If the Rebbe becomes apikaros, is it covered?
I think with Rebbe Meir, they said it wasn't a good thing that he did.
The what?
With Rebbe Meir, with Elisha Ben Abuya.
I don't know. I don't know what the halacha is. But I mean, with the Sefer Torah, it still has Kedusha. Still has to have Kedusha. It means that any part of the Sefer Torah, even, in other words, you're saying like if the Sefer Torah has to be buried, Geniza, if it's something happens to it.
Right,
but it's only there. Because it still has Kedusha. It's related to those ideas.
I think the Rebbe's a better example, I think.
Yeah.
The Rebbe that no longer is capable or in his old age or something like that.
Okay.
So what are you giving kavod then to his like past idea, like his ideas?
No, well then you'd be saying that he has a certain the Torah defines him in a certain way. Now just because he may not function. The question is that definite? In other words, he has his definition of Rav. Now, does he have to always function as a Rav when he's sleeping? He's still the Rav. You know what I mean? So now that he's old and he can't think properly, but he's still a Rav because he has that definition. You know, that's a question of how halacha relates to different objects. But it's based on halacha. Now, if halacha tells you the man is still considered, he's still considered a Rebbe, he still has a Chal Shem of your Rebbe. So then it's still based, what the details are, it depends on how you define what a Rebbe is. But it's always based on the fact that he's a Rebbe. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's not based on his physical guf. You know what I mean?
Right.
In other words, if the Torah would say he's no longer a Rebbe, he's no longer defined as a Rebbe, well then that's it. You have to show him cover. Let's say, for instance, the parent dies, so you have to be misabel for the parent. But the halacha is that if the parent is a kofa b'torah, okay, that goes against the Torah and openly denies and separates himself from the community. So there is no, you don't show him makava. You don't, you're not misava on a person like that. That's Purish Min HaTzibur and has nothing to do with Yadas and denies the system. There's no avails. Okay? So that's because it's dependent on his status, on a certain halakhic status. But you don't say, well, the man's the parent. He's the parent. They have to now. You see? It's anything that you have in the halakhic system is always based on a certain idea that the halakha gives the thing. You see, it's never the physical object. You see, so that's the difference. It's not a physical entity that we're dealing with. We're dealing with ideational entities that have a physical base, but they're ideational entities. How do you know when something's a sefer Torah? You can't know from inspecting it. If you know the person that wrote it doesn't believe in God, it's not a sefer Torah. It could look exactly, every dose could be correct. Not a sefer Torah. So you see that even the entities in halacha are not physical. There is no part of halacha that's physical. Yeah.
Just saying, I mean, maybe this is too simple here, but in both cases we're saying this thing, you know, has an importance on account of something else.
Sure.
So where exactly is they're saying, they're also saying this has importance on account of God.
Because the problem is when you say a physical thing has importance on the count of God, you're taking something that's diametrically opposed to God. You see, you're taking a... If what you're trying to do is you're trying to relate to the source of a thing, you see, then you can only relate... It can only relate back to the source of the thing if the thing that you're relating to leads you to that thing. Mm. You see, but if the thing you're relating to is a negation of that thing, in other words, if I say, look, to me, there are people that say, what's real, show me the physical thing. Okay? You're going to show me ideas, you're going to explain things to me. If you could show me show me in black and white, show me a physical thing, that's real to me. An idea, okay, that's not real. Okay, if the person disappears, they had that idea, the idea is gone. Okay, I think somebody told me that yesterday Rebbe had a Q&A where a person was asking about that there are people that believe that if man wouldn't exist, the ideas would disappear. Because ideas are only in man's mind. Okay, but the physical objects, that's real existence. Now, if that's a person's viewpoint, there is no way that showing respect to a physical object leads you back to God. Because he's relating to the physical because that's what's real to him. That means that anything beyond the physical, you're getting less real. You see? So now if I start thinking about, well, what brought this thing into existence? I'm getting into things that to me aren't real. So how could you say that leads you back to God? That's a worship of God? You know what I mean? Their mistake is that they compared it to a physical king. A physical king, yes. If I respect his officers, yes, that leads you back to him, because the officers partake of his nature. You see, but you can't just take anything and say, "Well, that's going to lead me back to the source." It depends. If the thing you're choosing is something that leads back, that you're choosing because to you the ideas are real, then you're saying that the physical is less real. It's something that is here today, gone tomorrow. But what is real? Something that partakes of ideas. Because an idea is permanent. Right? An idea of whatever idea you have, the idea doesn't disappear tomorrow. It has real existence. It's not subject to being destroyed. Now you're relating to things that lead you back to God. Because the source of everything is something that has real existence. Okay? But so that's only possible if a person is directing his appreciation to something that partakes of a real thing, of ideas. But if a person's appreciation is rooted in physical, it's exactly against the reality. Because he's saying to him, the physical is real. What I could see is real. If that's the case, then to him, ideas are less real. So God is the least real thing to him. That's exactly what Avodah Zarah is. That's why they chose the object. You see, and that type of thinking is Avodah Zarah. It's a false idea because the physical, the thing that you're concentrating on, your emphasis, you're going in the wrong direction. Okay? So the concept of one thing leading you to another is not false. You see, but that wasn't the mistake. The mistake was that the physical will lead me to God. If the physical leads you to God, then it means your idea of God is really physical. That's what it means. It means to you what's real is the physical. Why can't you relate to God through the ideas? Because the physical is real. If that's the case, your idea of God has to partake of the physical. You see, then the physical will lead you to God. If God partakes of that thing, then it will lead you to God. Okay? But if God doesn't partake of that thing, then it's going to lead you away. Okay? Yeah.
Would there be a proper way to relate to a star or something like that? But that in itself, like intrinsically, it has like no...
Yeah, you can relate to a star, yes, through appreciation of the chachma of the star. That's right.
And what does that mean?
It means when a person studies a star, it makes a certain impact on him. He's drawn to the chachma.
Like there's a gravity.
Yes. In other words, if his interest in the star is that this physical, if he's fixed on the physical, then he's moving in the wrong direction.
What's not physical? Like what? Even when you're doing like the science of it, what is?
That's right. That's the non-physical. If I'm doing the science of a star, you see. Now I'm really studying the laws of the star. When we say studying the star, well, what are you studying? The physical body? I mean, you can't study a physical body. You're studying, the study consists of understanding the laws behind the star. You see, those laws, now when I have those laws, I'll know any star. I'll know a star even if I can't see the star. And sometimes I'll know, if I understand the laws of the star, I can understand sometimes how my arm works. Because those laws are universal laws. So I can know why a ball is falling on Earth if I know the star. You see? So that's not the star per se. That's the laws behind the star. Now the laws behind the star lead you to what's behind those laws. So you're moving... A person desires to know to know the laws of the star, really his desire is to know the ultimate source of reality and what makes things tick.
As opposed to just saying like the sun, or just like in terms of like relating to the sun, is like something that gives me life or something.
That's
like
right, exactly. Oh, it's a life source. See, that's something that helps me.
Right.
See, now you're dealing with the sun as an object.
Right, and then that.
That's beyond, right. And that you can't. How are you going to go beyond that? You only go beyond
aesthetics. It's like right.
Exactly. You can only go beyond the sun if you're looking beyond the sun. If you're looking at what's behind the sun. But if you're looking at the sun, that's it. That's the end. That's the dead end. No way to go beyond that. Because there's nothing beyond that. Physically, there's nothing beyond that. Unless you're saying God is like some kind of physical, partakes of a physical nature that somehow he's tied to the sun. Okay, then you could go beyond it. Fine. But then you're involved in a false idea of God.
I think it becomes complicated when you get into like, I mean, when you see like a nice like view or like even like a rainbow or something, you're supposed to say,
right,
praise Hashem for that. So how is that different?
That's a good question. But then you're praising Hashem, right?
Yeah.
It's Hashem for Hashem.
Right.
So there's nowhere you show kavod to a rainbow. I mean, there's no respect for a rainbow. I mean, a Sefer Torah, you could say, you have to stand up for the Sefer Torah. Right, but there's no respect for a rainbow. It's just the rainbow brings to mind the ideas of the universal laws. And that person has to be Meshabech.
Which universal laws?
Whatever laws bring about the rainbow.
You have to go like open a textbook right when you see the rainbow and try to study the laws.
Well, let's put it this way. In other words, halacha doesn't you know, demand that as part of the performance a person understand how a rainbow works. But the halacha is made in a way that leads a person, encourages a person in that direction. In other words, when a person sees a rainbow, that's a curious thing. That's a change in the way things work. You see, his curiosity is awoken, right? That's any kid that sees a rainbow, whoa, curiosity is awoken. So therefore, the person makes a bracha. Now, naturally, the curiosity should lead you to study. Hey, well, what's behind this thing? You see, but the Torah can't tell you yet. Now open a book. I mean, that's, you can't have a lach.
I understand, but
the lach has to be, but it highlights something that leads a person towards chachma.
Right, so there has to be another step there, though.
In a person's life.
Right.
Yeah.
That, yeah.
That's right. And the lach is trying to get you in that direction.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, maybe to the contrary, or not the contrary, but that might be a great example to like combat this particular kind of thing, because like maybe halacha is stepping in at a time where you might be like overwhelmed by the object.
That's good.
Like at that point, make a bracha, like recognize that there's ideas behind it. Like,
very good.
This is because otherwise you might get into this.
Very good. That's right. A person sees a rainbow, you can be captivated by the rainbow itself.
Right.
Say, oh, 1 second, there's a source to that rainbow. That is not, there's nothing magical there. That's a product of the same being that creates all the laws. There's nothing that is not a alteration. It's not a magical type of thing. It's part of nature. And it stems from the same source that the rest of nature stems from. That's good. That's good pshat. That's why you have a bracha. To combat that other idea that, see, this is a magical type of thing. That's good. Very good. That's good shot.
Because it's their exact problem.
It's their exact problem.
That they had.
They saw the rainbow, and then, let's worship the rainbow. Let's make a bracha to the rainbow. That's good. I mean, that would be really, you could say, like you have other brachas too, where a person sees like an unbelievable thing in nature, beautiful scenery, and a person makes a bracha. Why? Because, okay, it's beautiful scenery, but there's a source to that scenery. Don't be captivated by the thing itself. There's no, don't be a nature lover per se. You see, that emotion of the love of beauty has a correct, you know, you should direct that correctly. The end point is not nature for nature's sake, but nature leads you to a even more beautiful scene, an intellectual love of beauty. That's very good. That's right. So that's the Torah. The Torah is always taking from the physical object, away from the physical, towards the thoughts, the ideas. That's good. But if the voda is the physical, it does not take you anywhere. It can't take you anywhere. It can't. Taking you away from the ideas. If you wouldn't make a bracha, and you just dwell on the beautiful scene, you're moving away from the reality. You're moving to the results, just to the physical manifestations, and that's where all your energy is rooted. It's not going anywhere. That's good. Very good. Okay.
Thank you.